I'm Gabrielle, the Hot Yoga Doctor. I've been helping thousands of people around the world with my approach to hot yoga. My mission is to take the struggle out of your hot yoga practice and find the sweet spot in every pose. Today we're talking about something that sounds like it should be a simple subject because we all do it. And because it's there in everyone, often it's taken for granted as something that simply operates in the background on autopilot. This video will help you to learn how to stay calm in situations where there is a lot of stress in your life, help you learn how to hold your yoga poses longer without panic or lack of focus, learn how to extend your athletic performance, or if you sing or play a sport as a hobby, help you find improvement there, or simply if you just want to feel more vital. Yes, you guessed it, we're talking about breathing. You could almost say it's a cure-all. Luckily for you, it does happen automatically and keeps you alive. Learning to breathe properly is a skill that most people put aside because of its reliable set and forget nature. And just like any technique, you can do this with varying degrees of skill and with good and bad effect. So, have you managed to nail it? Have you managed to sort out your breathing in class? Do you still have challenge in breathing in big forward or big back bends? Do you still wonder why you have to make that noise in your throat when you do pranayama? And what is the link between this first important exercise and the rest of the class? We tend to have a disciplined focus when we're practicing yoga. However, where the rubber really hits the road is where you have stresses thrown at you outside of the studio when you aren't practicing yoga asana. Maybe you feel angry with your child for some reason, or you feel stress making a presentation, or panic doing something new or unfamiliar. Maybe you lose your breath with minimal exertion or can't seem to switch off your mind enough to simply fall asleep. Learning the skill of breathing and how to access it in times of stress is a journey in itself. I often say in class that relaxation is a learned skill. You can see how students visibly learn to let go and tune into themselves. This skill is inextricably linked to your ability to breathe and to focus on your breath. And just like any skill, with practice, it becomes instinctual and automatic. The question is, have you developed the right automatic breathing techniques and response to stressful situations? It can take a long time to learn how to breathe and unravel the years of poor technique that comes about by poor breathing habits. Some of these are due to the effects of our experiences and our emotional well-being. It's not necessary to go into the autonomic nervous system to a great degree because I think we can distill the essence of it without too much anatomical and physiological jargon. Let's just say that unlike most body systems, you actually have both conscious and unconscious control of your breathing. You have specialized centers in your brain that automatically regulate the rate and depth of breathing and depending on what your body needs at any time. Most people have heard of the fear, flight, and fright response that the body has and its effects. The breath moves out of the lower torso and up to the top of the chest. It's here that our nervousness or excitement can make the breath shallow and light. Many people breathe like this most of the time. The lungs can feel stuck and unable to expand. The breath feels caught there and doesn't move around the body. Any expansion may not only feel very uncomfortable, but could actually bring up many strong emotions. If you've heard of the parasympathetic nervous system, you may know that it helps balance your states of fear, flight, fright, excitement, and other aroused states. Almost like magic, you can access the calming effects of this system through your breath. Pranayama is breathing with mindful control. Practice of pranayama increases the tone of your parasympathetic nervous system, your ability to be calm under pressure, and improves your overall emotional and physical health. As a teacher, I can tell you students put a lot of effort into performing the pranayama techniques at the beginning and end of class, but in between it can be hard to know how to keep up the good work. Ideally, you want to breathe with the diaphragm in conjunction with great posture. You can't really have great breathing with a poor posture, and poor posture makes it difficult to use your diaphragm fully. You do have control over both. The diaphragm is just like any other muscle in the body. It needs proper use to learn to use it correctly, and it works when you inhale. It's a band of muscle that fits neatly in a curve under your lungs above your abdomen. When it contracts, it has the effect of moving down, enlarging the thoracic cavity where the lungs and heart are, and helps draw the air in. When it moves down, negative pressure is created in the thoracic cavity that helps draw the air down into the lungs. When you breathe out, the diaphragm relaxes. There's no diaphragmatic work involved here. The positive pressure inside the lungs helps propel the air out. And of course, the inflated lungs and rib cage contract to deflate the lungs. When you watch a baby, you can see how they draw the breath into the belly. They know diaphragmatic breath naturally. What is it about our lives that has us losing this ability, where we have to retrain ourselves to find and relearn how to activate a full and deep breath that uses more of the lungs? Why does it become hard to use the diaphragm? There's a very complex answer to that, which is best left to another time, but it is a combination of your habits plus emotional and physical factors. You know, you can actually breathe without really using your diaphragm, and even with very little or almost imperceptible expansion of your lungs and rib cage. I'll leave it to you to work out how effective your body can function when you breathe like that. It sounds almost unreal to say that the quality of your life is directly proportional to your ability to breathe fully. Luckily, most yogis, regardless of experience, have some idea of this fact. Many people don't realize that they have to relearn how to do it because none of us can remember our first breath and we can't monitor when it changed or why. It is probably the single most important element to you. Your emotional and physical growth, your well-being and your life depend on it. Now, I think I would like to go back a step or two for an analogy I use to describe how your posture can determine how much air your lungs can fill with. We touched on it in my instructional video, Elbows in the Back Pockets. When you use your physiology of happiness, when your elbows are in your back pockets and your breastbone is lifted, you literally create more space in your chest cavity that allows your lungs to expand into the space. I received dozens of personal emails how this simple technique has changed yoga practices and transformed lives around the world. You will find that video on the Hot Yoga Doctor website. You have been given a certain amount of body tissue that you can work with. An unerected circus tent that lays on the ground has the same amount of material as when it is pitched and filled with people. It's totally up to you to stand in a way that will either make it hard or really easy to fill your tent up with air. Elbows in your back pockets helps you transform your body to create the space that you can fill with air, to deepen your breath and have access to amazing potential. But that's not the whole story. You may be able to transform a poor posture, but the ability to create the opening in your lungs may take some time. When your lungs have been underperforming in their limited space, they take time to grow. Now that your chest can rise to the challenge, how do you actually grow your lungs to fill the space? How do you move away from that shallow high at the top of the chest breath and start to access your life's potential? By cultivating good breathing habits to go along with your good posture. My story might be like yours. When I first started this yoga, my breath was very shallow and very weak. I'm not kidding when I tell you that for a whole 5 months doing 6 to 8 classes per week, that I had to take an extra breath somewhere during the pranayama exercise. I want to thank Jody, my first teacher, for the way she held each breath for more like 10 seconds rather than 6. Back then, I didn't know how long it was supposed to be held for, but I'm positive that holding your breath with fully inflated lungs was one of the keys that helped me grow my lungs. Here is a reason why breathing the breath in deeply and avoiding short, shallow breaths at all costs is important. When you breathe, you draw air from the outside through your nose or mouth and then through your trachea and then into your lungs where all your alveoli are. Your lungs only perform the gaseous exchange once the air gets past the bronchi and reaches the alveoli. The passageways on the way to the alveoli make up what we call the dead space, because there is no chance for gaseous exchange and you don't get any benefit from the oxygen you are drawing in. The more shallow and quick your breath cycle, the more air stays in this dead space, and the less air gets to your lungs and the less wastes are removed. you could take in exactly the same volume of air in slower and deeper breaths, and you not only draw more air into your lungs, you use more of your lung space. Learning to access a deeper breath can be quite surprisingly challenging because you are literally opening up dormant areas of your lungs that have rarely been exposed to this life-giving elixir. Now let's look at how you can use breathing technique to grow your lungs. If, like me, you were originally taught to make a buzzing or singing noise in your throat in the pranayama breathing exercise, then you may find it difficult to know how to access good breathing technique for the rest of class. I know many students still do this. It really isn't necessary to vibrate your voice box or larynx to access deep breath. I want to approach it in the opposite way and just run through how you can breathe generally throughout the class and then expand the technique for the pranayama exercise at the beginning of hot yoga and Bikram yoga classes. I used to do this funny buzzing technique for a while, but I found it very irritating to my throat. It made it itchy and tickled. I would often cough or have to stop because of the discomfort. Before, I talked about the way you use the diaphragm and your posture to draw the air in. Your body creates a negative pressure and the air rushes in. Still, you can create even more rush of air in the way you use the system of pipes that connect the outside to the inside. What you're trying to do is slow the breath down. This helps you draw much more air into the lungs. How do you do that? By forcing the air through a constricted space. This is actually a well-known scientific principle described first by Bernoulli and then Venturi in the 1700s and 1800s. The Venturi or Venturi effect applies to liquids and gases. It is what happens when air flows through a tube that narrows. The air accelerates. There are also some complex effects with pressure, which means that if you breathe really fast through this constriction, it becomes harder to breathe deeply. Which means when you breathe slowly through this constriction, you can actually get more air down into your lungs. The constriction that you need occurs higher up than the larynx, with the glottis at the back of the throat. On the flip side, gasping breath is a different habit that doesn't work either in or out of the studio. This engages your sympathetic responses, creating a panicked, shallow breath again, high in the chest. Experiment by gasping some air and notice how you can artificially set up that feeling of panic. Notice how shallow the breath is. You might also try to breathe in quickly through your nose. Even with a decreased opening in your throat to try to create that increased flow, when the breath is inhaled quickly, you will feel your tummy actually snaps in. Try it. Try it with your stomach sticking out. Now that's really difficult and works against your body's panic response. Only when you breathe in slowly through your nose will your diaphragm move and allow a good, relaxed, full, expansive breath. Ujjayi Pranayama is the mindful, controlled breathing exercise that many yoga instructors teach their students and should be used throughout your entire class. Although you will develop a silent Ujjayi breath over time, a great way to start your breath awareness and to build your skill is to make your breath audible. This doesn't mean buzz or sing though. As I said before, this can make your throat itchy or irritated and also cause unnecessary energy expenditure. And importantly, it is not good because it can distract you from developing the quality and depth of your breath. What you want to do is cause that partial closing or constriction in your throat that will create that sound like the ocean or rushing wind with a characteristic of white noise. This sound is caused by the air rushing through the now narrowed pipe that lies between your mouth and lungs. Here is a diagram to show how the Venturi effect works. The air comes in one end at a slower speed, and then with the narrowing of the airway, it picks up speed to actively fill the lungs. The slower the breath, the more you fill your lungs. The same principles are used with the hot yoga pranayama breathing exercise. In Bikram and hot yoga, the pranayama exercise used is inhaling through the nose and exhaling through the mouth. The exhale breath is often taught as opening the mouth wide and just letting the air come out. While students usually figure it out for themselves after a while, it is a difficult exercise to get from this instruction. When you inhale with that partial occlusion of the throat, you draw the air in. Let the diaphragm move down, belly out, keep the chest lifted. Capitalize on sound principles of breathing, which include optimizing your posture and maximizing your Venturi effect with effective throat constriction. On the exhale, use the positive pressure in your lungs plus the forceful contraction of your intercostal muscles to add power to your natural exhalation. If your mouth is open too wide, it is almost impossible to effectively constrict the right part of the throat. My favorite description of this sound is telling my students to make a ha sound like a hairdryer. It not only describes the sound, but gives a real sense of how you have to force the air out. Add the throat's constriction, and you can find real power. The more powerful your exhale, the more you empty your lungs. The greater the negative pressure is created in your lungs, which will create a deeper inhalation when you use your Ujjayi technique on the next inhale. Now, to really enhance your pranayama exercise, you firstly want to make sure that your inhales are full and your exhales have you thirsting for your next breath. Then, when you finish your introductory exercise, treat your whole class as an extended pranayama or conscious breathing exercise where you have attention on that rushing sound in your throat and when you inhale and exhale through your nose. Too many students only use the pranayama exercises at the beginning and end of class with conscious awareness. Then the rest of the class is practiced with only partial breath awareness, if it exists at all. Instead, learn to make the breath the union or the link to your life and your yoga. Practice conscious breathing as often as you can. Once you understand Ujjayi breath and how to use it effectively in your pranayama exercise, your new skill of proper breath regulation will transform even the most challenging poses. Even the big back bends like camel and the huge compression forward bends in poses like rabbit. Wouldn't you love to feel a sense of vitality and endless breath in these poses? As you already know from the examples before, it is not just physiology that will affect your ability to breathe. An enormous determinant is your emotional health and well-being. This yoga has the ability to transform you emotionally to create the calm and stress-free life that most aspire to. Moving your body will release much of the emotional baggage that you have locked inside your body, but there are no shortcuts to learning good, deep, mindful, oxygenating, life-giving breathing. Loads of new hot yogis often complain that they can't breathe in the studio. Are you beginning to see that it is not that they can't breathe, but maybe for the first time in years they're actually breathing deeper and more fully than they've ever been able to? The asanas are providing the space and some emotional cleansing. The lungs simply take longer to catch up. Remember that pranayama breathing is not just an exercise that tops and tails your class. It's helping you set up mindful, conscious breathing that you do for your whole class. Maybe even in your day-to-day life too. Thanks for joining me. Namaste.